Now, the three kinds of relationship I've been talking about have been called Simpsonian, Meyerian, and Hennigian relationship. And they can be fitted very neatly to the three different schools of classification that developed during the 1960s and were much disputed through the 1970s. These three schools are called phonetics, cladistics, and evolutionary systematics, or eclectics. Phonetics relies on overall similarity as a measure of relationship, and so it classifies similar organisms together. This matches Meyer's definition of relationship as shared genotype. Cladistics aims to classify by inferred recency of common ancestry, and so it matches Hennig's definition of relationship. And eclectics, or evolutionary systematics, classifies by a mixture of similarity and inferred common ancestry, using taste or judgment as to when one criterion is given precedence. And so it matches Simpson's discussion of relationship and how one ought to classify. But notice that there are only two criteria of relationship, the phonetic one of similarity and the cladistic one of inferred common ancestry. Eclectics merely uses a mixture of the two. Well, which school is correct or is best? The overwhelming consensus after 20 years of argument is that cladistics is best. And it's unusual these days to find a systematist who's given any thought to the fundamentals who isn't a cladist. Cladistics has won through, I think, for two main reasons. First, it has a consistent and coherent philosophy. And second, it developed at the same time as the early work in molecular systematics, when protein sequences and other molecular evidence was first brought to bear on problems of relationship and classification. Let me explain quickly why this is so. A molecular biologist can only sample living taxa. He ends up with a set of data, let's say DNA sequences, from which he wants to recover a tree or a classification. The sequences are necessarily seen as terminals of the tree. No one would dream of seeing a DNA sequence from one species as ancestral to a sequence from another species. And in a tree, it's ancestors that occupy the internal nodes and branches. So molecular systematists from the beginning worked with samples from the tips of the tree and tried to reconstruct the tree by one method or another. Now, if we look back to the diagrams explaining Simpson's, Meyer's, and Hennig's ideas about relationship, we see that Hennig's is the only one that deals just with terminals of the tree. He's trying to classify species W, X, Y, and Z, the four terminals of the tree in his diagram. Simpson's trying to classify ancestors, as we can see from his diagram, recommending combining three ancestral species into a genus ancestral to the four living or terminal species. And in Meyer's diagram, the three terminals, B, C, and D, are labelled with their percent genetic difference from A, the ancestor. Obviously, if we can tell that C differs from A by only 10%, whereas D differs from it by 70%, we must have access to A. So among these three, Hennig's the only one whose definition of relationship treats the terminals of the tree as real and the internal part of the tree as hypothesis or conjecture. And that's why his system directly matches the ideas of molecular systematists.